The Morning Spotlight podcast is sponsored by Fidelity National Title Group, the nation's largest group of title companies and title insurance underwriters that collectively issue more title insurance policies than any other title company in the United States. If you have questions, need a quote, or want to place an order, shoot yours truly, the coolest guy in title insurance, an email, and I'll be happy to help. Check the show notes for my email address. Good morning and welcome to the Morning Spotlight Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Hamm, coming to you, as always, from the Spotlight Studios here in Morristown, New Jersey. My guest today has been in the mortgage business for over 20 years and hosts a local talk radio show, Real Estate Jerky, where they give you something to chew on. He also hosts two other podcasts, Inner Edison and Helping the Brave. He's a veteran. He is Ed Parco. Ed, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you on. I mean, I put a lot of time and effort into my fake background, and to have somebody that has like a real legit background, if that's a green screen, then like I'm blown away.
It's not a green screen.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing was pre-COVID, right? I was going to do more video because Steve, the one we got connected, Steve D. Right. Sims, he's like, he does his AOTC ahead of the curve. And he's like, you got to do more video. You got to do more stuff.
Yeah.
At the time I did none. Fast forward to today, it's like, can you stop doing video? Anyway, so I had bought this. It was a local person down close to me. They had it for sale. They used it for a wedding. They wanted to get rid of it. So I bought it, but it just wasn't wide enough.
Yeah.
And then when I got into here, I wanted to make a studio. And I'm like, that'd be a perfect background because I don't want to put anything on the walls in case I want to leave.
Right.
And so that was my background. Added the flag. I had that flag. I actually ordered it from Dog Tag Furniture.
Okay.
Which, but they're out of business. They're gone now because of COVID and everything. What was nice is when they created them, they didn't understand the demand they were going to have for them. So people flew in to help them build them.
Build those flags.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And then now COVID and everything shut them down.
Right. So yeah. Great. But you know, I just think it's great. I mean, like I'm jealous anytime I get to sit in a studio or see somebody that's in a studio, I'm just always jealous. Cause I live in a one bedroom apartment here in Morristown. And, there's obviously not a lot of space to create one. I mean, I probably could, but then my girlfriend would probably be a little upset. So, taking over the space that we don't have. So, all right, so let's learn a little bit more about you. So like, let's go through kind of what you do for a job right now. Like what is your main job? I know you do a lot of things. We're going to get to all of them. But what do you do?
What I'm supposed to do for a living is I own a mortgage company here in California, which is I'm a broker, been a broker forever. I prefer that side of the business. I've been a mortgage banker. I've been a mortgage lender. I've done all that. I like the broker side because I never have to say no.
Right.
Plus I'm able to offer things. This is my opinion, of course.
Sure.
Do me that I'm able to offer it so much more inexpensive than a lot of the larger companies and all the net branches out there, which is going to make some people mad, but that's just how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've been doing it for over 20 years.
A long time. Yeah. I first got into the business in, it's going to date me, 91.
Okay.
And then I got out and because huge market downturn at that time, not real huge, but at that time it seemed, it wasn't like the Great Recession,
right?
But it was a bad one. And then I got back in the business in 94 and been in ever since.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what the difference was when I got out the first time. It was all refinance. I was taking people from 13 to 9 and they love me. And now if I give someone a 2.99, they think I'm taking advantage of them. You're laughing, but that's how it is.
Well, yeah, I would imagine. Right.
So I got out and then I went to work for a insurance company that sold to businesses. Right. It was Blue Shield, Blue Cross. I can't remember which one. It was in Thousand Oaks. I was in a small business. I worked there for 6 months and I was answering calling, you know, business owners, talking to them. And I actually started listening to what people were saying, the tones and inflections in their voice. And so when I got back in the business, it was a totally different world for me. I could connect with people by talking to them. And plus people say, I don't have a bad voice. So that helps out too.
Yeah, definitely a good voice. Definitely like a good voice for podcasting, radio. And we're going to talk more about that in a minute. But before that though, so it wasn't always in the real estate mortgage world, right? You were a veteran before that.
I actually joined the Navy to see if I wanted to become a doctor. I joined as a medic because I heard horror stories, how many people went through medical school and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the time I thought I wanted to, or a chiropractor, didn't know what, but I, you know, you have to be better than a C student. And I never studied and I got B's and A's in high school, but I was told I was going to be a blue collar worker by my counselor. So
nice.
I joined the Navy to see the world. And I got to stationed in San Diego and I was at, and then I was stationed at Camp Pendleton, pretty much my whole tour that I was in over. There was a couple stints somewhere else, but I was at Camp Pendleton at the hospital.
Gotcha.
Which I tell people, it was like, if you watch the show MASH, that's kind of how it was for me. It was not really like being in, you know.
Yeah. So I guess I wasn't like
on a ship. Yeah. If I was on a ship, it'd be a different world. That's right. Why my son's in the Army. He's a medic. And I told him, don't go in the Navy because you'll get stuck to a ship. You're not going to be as lucky as I was.
Yeah. So, but I guess then obviously like the doctor idea didn't really pan out. It was just, you know.
No, I understood that I hated patient care. I mean, I liked the overall about it and helping. I worked. And so I ended up going to physical therapy and I through the Navy. And then I got back stationed back at Camp Pendleton. I would take care of people's. And what I liked was the stroke part and the wound care, helping those type of people. You could actually see the healing.
Yeah.
Then I got my bachelor's while I was in, and then I was working on my master's, and then I got out and I finished it when I got out. So that was a huge difference for me going, I want to be in the business world. I want to do some type of business. I didn't know at the time. I got my bachelor's in marketing and my master's in international business and marketing. So it was like a dual emphasis. And that's what I used when I came back into the mortgage industry, not the, you know, it was at the time it was direct mail, but nobody was really doing it. I won't say right, but they just didn't. I created some postcards, you know, made a huge thing in 91. Then I got out. When I came back in 94, I went to work for the same guy that I worked for before, and he was using the same postcard. So I revamped it and we grew that company so big. It was ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah.
So talk to me about like, because obviously, you know, you're doing three shows now. You were talking about the video stuff before, and obviously you're doing a lot of, you know, lives and, you know, live streams, videos, all that kind of stuff. Talk to me about like approaching something like the mortgage industry. So like I sell title, like I told you before, and this is not something that a normal title sales rep is going to do a podcast. Right. And so talk to me. I mean, mortgage business seems to be similar. I mean, I think that now it's changed a little bit, but, you know, it seemed, especially like you were talking about back then, it's definitely a lot different. So talk to me about like maybe when you first start doing these different types of things, whether it's the postcards or stuff maybe you did early on, was that like, hey, like, what are you doing, Ed? Like, what's the deal with this? Like, why don't you just go like with what we normally do?
Well, back then, all right, so it just created, I'm an old dog, I've been in this business forever, but in the 90s, we had started direct mail, and I was a guru of it. I mean, I created stuff, and people would steal everything I would create, and how I would know that is I'd make up departments, and then I would see that on other people's piece, and I'm like, they're stealing my stuff, which was good, because it allowed me to make better and do stuff, and my whole thing was to create, you know, people to make... When we were in 47 different states, so we do mailers through the whole country, and it was about getting the phone call, but getting a quality lead, not just a phone call.
Right.
And that was always my goal. And we did really well. And that's been my forte. But what happened is I got into management, which was the worst thing I could do. And when I moved up to Northern California from San Diego, I actually started my own company again, because I was business partners with somebody before. We were together for, you know, forever. I worked for a company, and that guy had made like $10 million to himself in 18 months after, and then he went bankrupt and whatever. And out of that company, there was 30 salespeople, and they created 9 different companies. And that business partner I was together for the end. And then when I moved up here, I'm like, I'm going to separate. I'm just going to do purchase. I do not want to do refinances, because that's all we lived off of back then was refinances. And it was a great business, but I like helping people get into homes. I like helping them build personal wealth. It's not about just refinancing people.
Right. Exactly. And then, so as we kind of like progress through this journey, right? So was the Real Estate Jerky the first show that you started or got involved with?
Yeah. So what happened was, so I've been in this business and, you know, everybody's trying to do things differently.
Sure.
But the problem is everybody tries to do things differently by going to the same events. Right.
Like
the same mortgage things, the same real estate stuff, the same title stuff. Right. So I was like, I got to go outside of my industry and find stuff. And then I actually ran into Steve D. Sims. It was like almost over three years ago at an event in San Diego. It was Todd Duncan's High Trust thing. He was there talking and I was like, this guy is so different.
Yeah.
I need to get to know him. And I went upstairs to a thing and I was standing next to him. He was talking about everything and he's got this huge English accent.
Right.
And so I downloaded his Audible book, which was Blue Fishing, which is the book he has. But I downloaded it and then I was walking the Camino de Santiago. Do you know what that is?
I do not.
That is the walk in Spain. If you ever watch, there's a show called The Way. It's on Netflix or whatever.
Okay.
It talks about that. It's a great movie. And my wife showed it to me and then I had to go on it because that was her plan. So if you ever get married and you have the right person, my wife sits on the couch, looks at me and smiles. I'm like, what are we doing next? First, it was like, hey, would you do a 5K with me? Would you do a 10K? Would you do a triathlon? This is back in this 06. And of course, I'm always going to say yes,
because
she's my wife.
And right.
I learned after my second divorce that it's important to make a list of what you want in somebody, not focus on what you don't want in somebody.
Right.
So if you make that list, and I'll throw this out there. I know I'm all over, but
no, it's great. I love it. That's what we do here. We're always all over the place.
All right. So my list, I mean, everything I wanted outside, different industry, that professional, had to have a degree, same as me or whatever, or, you know, because I always became an issue with my past wives that degree thing. Like I thought I was better than them. That's not what it is. I wanted to be more educated to know what I was talking about. So the only thing she wasn't on my list was 5'9". She's 5'4". Everything else was there. Right. She had a list, which I didn't know at the time. And she had just got out of her divorce and the only thing I wasn't on her list was a fireman. She thought she wanted me gone every other night. Right. But then once you're a soulmate and you find that person, you want to spend all your time with them. And that's what we do.
Right.
So we've been married for 17 years and we spend all our time. I adopted her 3 kids. They're my kids. And that's just our story. So now you got to know who I am. And you know, the funny thing about you're saying about all these lives and everything I do, I never told anybody anything about me. And now everybody knows everything about me.
Every single detail of your life. Yeah.
Yes, everything.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like how bad the 2006 hurt me and hurt my, you know, credit and how I repaired it. Cause that's how I explain to people how to fix your credit. I tell them, I'm telling you what I did. This works. I'm not working for a company who's telling you what to do and they've never been through it. I've been through it. This works. Do this, this, and this.
Yeah. Right. And so go back to the mortgage thing for a second, because we're talking about this and you're talking about connecting with people and all that kind of stuff. Are there particular groups of people? Like, do you focus on veterans because you are a veteran? Or is it really just kind of like you're an equal opportunity broker?
I'm an equal opportunity employer and broker, but veterans are who I'm key to because everybody sends me any VA loan they have, but I'm in Northern California. So we have no more bases up here. When I was in if you live in San Diego or you live in some of those areas, that's a lot of people. I only help veterans or LA because there's so many of them.
Right.
Right. And that's the difference. But I really like helping veterans. I really like helping first time home buyers. And I really like helping business owners because one of the biggest problems is for business owners to buy their house. A lot of times they don't show enough income, but there's luckily some new programs that are out so we can get those people into homes also.
Right.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm going to toot my horn here for a second.
Toot away.
So much that I had somebody come to me. They were referred by an agent friend of mine. And he's like, I tried to get them to you from the beginning. They were at this bank for 60 days, right? And they couldn't approve them. I had them. We closed that loan in 9 days.
Nice. That's a good toot right there.
Well, the issue is I'm a business owner.
Right.
Right. I understand off your corporations. I understand all the other stuff because we do it.
Yeah.
We live it.
Right.
Somebody who works for, we'll just say a bank or some other company, they don't own a company usually. They just are a W-2 employee. They only know their stuff. I know so much more because I did it. I've been there and plus the people I've helped. So I knew how to put his stuff together to get it through a normal process where they didn't understand. How could you get a W-2 this year for next year, but use the income this, you know,
it's right.
Yeah. I didn't understand it.
Yeah. So. And I think a lot of people, you know, so we have a lot of listeners to the show that are, you know, most of the listeners between 25 and 35, that's like the general demographic of age. A lot of them are in the Northeast, but that, you know, whatever. But I think one of the things that sometimes happens if you're in like a sales role, like me, you know, and you're making commissions. You know, one year you might have a great year. Last year you might have a COVID year where you don't really do as well as you have in the past. And then they're like, oh, we got to take the average of your last 2 years of commissions and then use that. And you're like, well, I didn't even make any last year. You know what I mean? Right. So then it's like you try to have to like figure out like how the hell am I even going to buy a house?
Right.
Yeah.
And there's, I mean, and but in that that age bracket you just talked about, I'm going to go off a little gamut again here. Since you brought it up. All right. So I'm hearing constantly, I'm going to wait to buy until we have a downturn, right? Bubble. It's going to burst. It's going to burst. And I keep telling them there's no way we're going to burst. We are 5 million homes short. It's going to take us to build 2 million homes a year for 10 years just to get caught up. And a lot of people look at me crazy. And I said, well, here's what happened. So we look at from 2002, and if you heard this, tell me to shut up.
No, no.
From 2002 to 2006, we built all these homes for people coming of age at 31. The average person who buys a home is 31 years old.
That's 31. The average. There you go.
Some people do it earlier, some people do it later, but on average, it's 31. So from 2002 to 2006, we're building all these homes. It was the most homes we've ever built in a year, each one of those years. You can go back and see it. I can give you the charts. What happened is you go back 31 years and there's this thing that came into play called Roe versus Wade, right? It was an abortion bill that allowed it to be legal. The birth rates plummeted for the next 10 years. So they're building all these homes for these people coming of age that aren't there.
Right.
We had programs in our industry where people could buy 2 and 3 homes in a track, which they were. That was a false sense of that we needed those homes. And if you wanted to watch The Big Short, that's a movie.
Yep.
Guy's in with that, the stripper. She's like, oh, I have 3 homes and I'm buying them. I'm closing them on 4th one. He's like, how are you? Right. And because right. That's the problem. We had these programs. So when we had that financial crisis because of the programs that was created, and it wasn't so much the programs that were created, it was how they were rated. The bonds rating of them were AAA when they should have been triple Ds, right? Or Es or F. They were so bad. If they were rated properly, they would have been priced right and nobody would have used them.
Right.
And none of that would have happened. All right. So that's what happened there. So we didn't build homes for 10 years. We built a little bit. Then for the next 10 years from 2010 to 2019, we built the same amount of homes as we did from 1939, which was about 7 million homes, which is the least amount we've ever built through that 10-year period.
Okay. Right.
So that's only like 700,000 a year.
Yeah.
That, right. Today, you fast forward to today where everybody's like, okay, well, we're short homes by we're short 5 million homes. This year we closed, we're going to do like over 900,000 homes, new homes. Next year, maybe 1.1. And I said, we need 2 million for the next decade to get right. caught up. And people go, yeah. And I also said, did you know what's happening right now? Also, we're in a third year of a 10-year birth rate expansion on top of all of this. What does that mean? No bubble.
Yeah.
It's going to continue like this for a decade at least. We might, I'm hoping that we don't see the like Phoenix going up 30% and San Diego going up 22%, because I'm in California. I can't have that. I want 7% appreciation.
Yeah.
I want less than that, because after a $500,000 house, 10% is 50 grand. You do 20, that's 100 grand. So that house went up 100 grand this year. Next year, another 100 grand. That takes a lot of people out. And then they move to other states because they make 50 to 100,000 and they can't buy anything in California, which we have 40 million people in California. We can lose a few people.
Yeah.
We have a net exodus of 100,000. It's going to take a very long time to get rid of all of us.
Yeah.
So Get used to seeing us coming.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe, you know, as someone that's in that age demographic, because I'm 31, you know, and like looking and being in the industry also as a title insurance rep, like I saw, especially here, let's just say New Jersey, and, you know, they could have similarities between New Jersey and California. I'm not sure what the California markets were like, but New Jersey residential market between last year and even continuing now, like, it's insane. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, like, houses are going. I had a client that was actually on this show, my first ever episode, told me that he had a client that paid $150,000 over the asking price in cash and waived his appraisal and his inspection. And I was like, say what? You know, but like, that's what people were doing. And I think that is what kind of maybe scared people like me away from buying a house, because like there's literally no financial way that I could even figure out how to do that. I mean, it just like almost seems impossible and like an insurmountable hurdle. But like, how do you, you know, like if you're talking to somebody that's renting and they're like, I'm cool renting, it's just going to be, you know, we're going to make it through. And then once we kind of save up some money, then we'll go buy that house. And, you know, if there's a bubble, there's not going to be a bubble according to you. So like, talk to me about that. Like, how do you get people out of like the mindset that I have basically?
Because so in California, they passed kind of a rental moratorium where they can't raise the rents on people except for a certain percent. Right.
Right.
For years, most people own rental properties are a mom and pop.
Yep.
They're not the big companies. There are some of those companies that own a lot of them, but most are mom and pop, and they wouldn't raise the rent at all until that person left. Right. Well, now every time your lease comes due, you're going to get a raise because that's the only way they can keep up with that. And if you look at rents, they continue to rise, not go down. They right. never go down. They're going up. And that's what's going to happen. So are you going to build personal wealth for you? Or are you going to build personal wealth for your landlord?
Right.
And the issue is, think about it. If today, I don't know, what's your average value of a house there? Your median price?
It really depends on like where you are. I mean, like Northern New Jersey, you're going to at least pay probably over 500 grand. I mean, different parts okay. will get even closer up to a million in some spots.
Right. So let's just say it's 500,000, right? In 3 years from now, that could be 800,000.
Right.
And so you'll never buy.
Yeah.
You'll have to move somewhere else to buy, which is okay. And I tell a lot of people, what's your job situation right now? Well, I do this. Then get a better job. Right now, there are so many people who quit work.
Yeah.
4 million in August, 4 million in September. There are so many people looking for people to get jobs. Go get a better job.
Right.
Go from making 20 bucks an hour to 30 bucks an hour. Go get training. Go become a nurse. Go to certain things that, and people look at me crazy. I'm like, no, here's an example. I had an architect who was self-employed. He came to me and wanted to buy this house. And I said, well, you only show $30,000 in income. There is no way. And you know what, that you can buy that house.
Right.
But if you went to work for a company as an architect, I could use that income the first paycheck you get. So he was at a company in 5 days working there, making 120 grand a year. His wife was so happy, had a steady paycheck, that whole nine yards. And he bought the house and he stayed for that company for about 6 years and then went out and opened up a totally different one. But still, it's how you look and how you do things. I say I spend all day long pushing the line without breaking it. And that's what I do. I try to get people into homes. And how can I help you get into homes? So we have so many different programs. I mean, you have USDA, which is 100% financing, VA 100% financing, unless you got to be a vet for that one.
Right.
USDA only works in rural areas. And what you do is you go to the USDA website, type in the address you're thinking about. It'll tell you whether or not it will go through that. And that's a great program. I use it a lot up in the rural areas, which we call rural, but you know, they don't think they're rural. And then you have 3% down conventional if you never owned a home, and you have 3.5% FHA. And you know, conventional is $647,250. Now you can find a decent house for 3% down with that. You just have to have, you know, the most important thing that for people to realize is you need a good FICO score. You got to work on your FICO score. That's it. You have to. That's the most important thing right now. And I don't mean to stand on my soapbox, but since the pandemic, it's huge.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they raised that to 660. A lot of companies did during the pandemic, because what people don't realize, from a 740 FICO score to a 640 FICO score, you're likely to go in foreclosure 17 times more than the other person. So that's why they look at that.
Yeah.
So they're worried about during that period of time, you're going to do your loan. And then before you make your first payment, you're going to go into forbearance because of COVID. And next thing you know, they have a loan that didn't make the first six payments. They got to buy it back.
Right.
It's just a nightmare.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So obviously you know, like the technical side of like what you're doing. So I want to also talk about more like the nuanced, you know, creative side of Ed Parco. But we're going to start with like the connection side, because one of the things that you mentioned, so we got connected through Steve Sims, who was also right. a guest on this show. And he's introduced me to other great guests that have been on the show that right before you, a couple of them actually. So talk to me about like when you're doing this job as a mortgage broker, you know, like the importance of making those connections, be it with, you know, potential clients, or just with, you know, you said like when you're at those speakeasy events that Steve runs, that you're always trying to like connect people as best you can. Like, talk to me about the importance of that to your business. I mean, it seems very self-explanatory, but I would love to kind of get your thoughts on like your purpose behind doing stuff like that?
Well, I mean, first, most important thing is my team, right? Connected, because I have my own personal team that handles my production, right? Not my company. It's just mine, right? Because that's important. Because when I was a manager before and I hated it. It's just managing people. Just some people say employees are horrible. I don't know. I prefer to deal with clients more than employees. And so the connection is I want to help people in this process. It's, you know, we're creating one of the largest debts in their life. And we have professional responsibility to help them manage that debt. Agents help them do the same thing. They need to be very professional in this also. A lot of people want to go to the push a button and make it so easy for a loan. And they don't realize the lowest rate can be the most expensive loan of your life. And you need to have a professional there to help you through that.
Yeah.
And you need somebody there that, and I tell people, how do you find that person? Well, get referred to them,
yeah.
You know, find somebody who just closed. How did you like the guy? Was he good? Yeah, it was amazing. But the most important thing that when you're looking at, and I'll get to the other connection part in a second. When you're doing a loan, they're going to give this thing called a loan estimate. In that first box, those are all profit for the company, except for the discount fees, right? If they're buying the rate down there, it's what you're paying for. So be careful in that first box. All right.
Yeah.
And I always tell people the fine print can really kill you. So be very careful with companies' fine print.
And then the connection side, we got to talk about
the connection side. Well, all right. So when I, with the Steve Sims, I was telling you, cause I like to connect with people. I go to a speakeasy and it's 40 people. The three times a year we go, he sends us someplace. We're there. We have no idea where we're going. The next one is in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think it's really Brooklyn.
Right.
You know, but I guess no. Yeah. Let's go to Brooklyn. Yeah. Let's see the Beastie Boys. Anyway.
There's some good spots in Brooklyn. There's, you know, it's I'm up sure and there coming.
Is. Yeah, I'm sure there is.
But it doesn't have the same panache only thing that was open. New York. Right.
New York was closed.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
And who knows where it's going to be now with everything. I mean, our state too. So, and I go to, so he doesn't just have, you know, people from the mortgage industry that we all have to worry about. What are you doing? You're going to take this from me. You're going to steal what I'm doing. I don't really care. I had a lady reach out to me because from one of his events, I was doing this thing. It's called a speakeasy bucket, nugget bucket. And basically, everybody had put all these little quotes in and stuff in this bucket during this speakeasy and he'd pull a few out. Well, I won it because I helped so many people during the time, which I didn't even know I was helping people. I just talked to people, connect them here, connect them there. Cause that's what people have done for me. So I do the same thing.
Sure.
Connection is huge. That's how we get where we want to go. That's how we got connected was through Steve Sims. So it's important to connect because if you're just in your little place and especially now with COVID, you don't leave pretty much, right? I mean, you kind of do, but we don't go to big events to meet people. And I really like events to meet people from all over the country and what you're doing differently.
Yeah.
So I hope I'm answering your connection.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There. Yeah. I know that was a very like broad, vague question, but you did great. So you're a pro. And we're gonna talk about that right now. So you have three shows, Real Estate Jerky, Helping the Brave, and Inner Edison. So what was the first one? Was it Real Estate
Jerky? Okay, about three. Yeah. So 3 August ago, somebody came to me and said, hey, would you like to take over a radio show? I'm like, do people listen to radio? Cause I didn't, listened to, you know, XM or whatever. I never lit or whatever I had on my phone. So I found out talk radio is huge, especially in our area. And so so they had different names for the show. It was a real estate. One company here had it for about 8 years and then somebody else took it over and it was about how great I was, not about what you're helping people. Right. And that's nobody wants to hear that.
Yeah.
So I said, fine. And then the lady who brought it to me, she's like, I tried to get the first guy to do this and this is how we should do it. And I'm like, that sounds like a great idea. She's like, what do you want to name it? Why do you want to name it the, you know, Central Valley, you know, real estate or whatever show.
Right. Snooze fest.
And So I started a blog back in 2010. It was called Real Estate Jerky. We give you something to chew on. And I'm like, hey, I'm just throwing it out there. Cause I'm not really using it anymore. I said, and they looked at me and they're like, oh my God, we could do a smokehouse studio. We can do. And that's what they did. So basically, you know, from our smokehouse studio, I had somebody else do all this stuff. So I've been doing that for about 3 years. The first year was about, I had different real estate agents on, and then I had a host that was a real estate agent. I went through many different people and now it's changed. It's about real estate and finance for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Kind of like what you're doing, right?
Right.
Just show me some title insurance. Who cares? It's not about that.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. And that's what my wife said to me. He goes, John, they don't want to know about that all the time. Right. And so we started having, about a year ago, year and a half ago, during the last election, right? We had politicians on because I want you, where you buy the community, right? You need to know what's going on with the community. You right. need to get involved. You need to help out, whatever that is. And so we, and so like I have nonprofit months in February where we have all these different nonprofits on in our area. And I do different things all the way through the year. Like coming up this week, we're going to have a vet who's coming on to running for Congress, right, from our area, which I think is very important for vets to get involved, especially in the political area, because as a vet, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, or independent, we can talk.
Right.
There's no personal feelings about anything that's going to get into the fact we're not emotional. We were in the Navy or we're in this, we're in some service that you, that was not taken away from you, but you've just learned how to apart, you know, compartmentalize it yeah. while you're talking to somebody.
Right.
And especially in the medical field, you can't get all, oh my God, he's hurt. How am I going to do that? You know, you just go in and you do your job yeah, and you right. forget everything else and you yeah. just do it. Right. So anyway, so where was I going with that?
We were talking about
the real estate jerky. Yeah. So we've been doing that. So it really took off that year. Right. And the producer of it, I had her become my co-host because it got to a point where I couldn't have different agents on because there was an agent on already
yeah.
and they didn't want to compete or whatever. So now I have different agents come in and talk, but then I have companies, you name it, come in and talk about it. People are asking, can we sponsor your show? Blah, blah, blah. And I don't really want a lot of people sponsoring my show because first of all, I own a mortgage company. So the only thing I did is in between the breaks, other national mortgage companies are trying to get in there. So I'm like, okay, put my ad in there because I don't want those guys to get in. And it's not really trying to promote me. It's just to stop those people from taking it.
Promoting on your own show.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Because it's important that the reason I started the show and the lady brought it to me is she knows how much people from 2000, you know, after 2006, when people were losing their houses, I was helping them negotiate short sales, all my different agents. I still was doing loans, but it was the same thing. To get somebody in the house, it was the same documents you needed to get them out of the house. But I met a lot of people who actually lost their house, their kids saw it, and it stopped those kids from wanting to buy.
Right.
And I think that is the worst thing that could happen because for most people, the only way you can build personal wealth is through home ownership because most people don't do a 401k, 403b, or an IRA. They actually buy a house and then it appreciates. And if you bought a house a couple of years ago, you can see now you're up $100,000, $200,000, you know. So
yeah.
That's why that show. So that was first.
Right. Sorry to cut you off, but when they approached you, did you like, that was your first show. So like, why you, why Ed Parco? Just because you had a good voice and people were like, I like that guy. He knows what he's talking about. Was that really it?
Well, they knew I knew what I was talking about because right. I've been around a while. Plus yeah. I was during the downturn, I started this thing called, or actually a friend of mine started this thing and I brought it up here. It's called No Homer Left Behind. And we had these events where we'd have people come in to help modify their loans. And we had 3,000 people show up for modifications. And these were at the time where they actually were doing them in the beginning. And then it got to a point where I was like, stop saving the house, save the people.
Yeah.
The modifications, let them go, do a short sale or, you know, and I found out ways to get around that hardship thing to help people get to the next step. And
gotcha.
So they came to me because they said, you're like the best kept secret here. And yeah. we don't want you to be that anymore. So right. I've been on, and it took 2 years on air, 52 weeks a year, you know, every week. And we were live up until 2020 March when everything shut down because of COVID. Right?
Right.
So then we had to go to Zoom. Then we had to go to where we record it, they edit it, and then it goes out on Saturday or whatever, which my wife's so happy because now I don't have to give up my Saturdays anymore.
You got them back.
Yeah. So our show, we hear 51 to 71,000 people listen to the radio show a week, you know, on the station and all that, which is great.
Yeah.
So I wanted to take them from there. And so I took it and I created a pod. So I took all the episodes. I'm like, we got to do one more thing with this. Let's put this somewhere else so people can get it after the fact.
Yeah.
And so it's a podcast. It's out there. It's on all the places you get your favorite podcasts. And it's there called Real Estate Jerky. You can listen to it. And, you know, sometimes it's not going to relate to you because it's a local thing, but most of the time it's going to relate to you because we talk about what you can do
yeah.
and what you can't do.
Right.
And
exactly.
how to help you. We've had people on about 1031 exchanges. That's nationwide. It doesn't yep. matter where you are.
Right.
Right. And that guy was amazing because I didn't realize you could buy a second home with a 1031 exchange.
Yeah. So. Right. You could. And then you eventually start two more shows, Helping the Brave and Inner Edison. So, but those are not necessarily focused on mortgages or real estate
not
or really at all. So talk to me about like foraying into that stuff, like doing something, because like this show, we've done real estate and we've done a lot of other types of things. I mean, we've had people that have no connection to real estate whatsoever on this show, like someone like Steve, but you could still pick up things from that that could help you in business or whatever. So talk to me about, like, because I guess maybe you were seeing success and enjoyed it or whatever, then you start these other two shows. Is that what happened?
No. Basically what happened was I hired Steve as my coach. And he's like, Ed, you have a problem with mistakes. I'm like, he goes, making mistakes. I go, no, I don't. He goes, yes, you do. He goes, first of all, you're prior military and prior medic. If you made a mistake, somebody died. I'm like, yeah, but I have no problem with my staff doing it at all. But I like to, if a mistake is made, I make sure that same mistake never happens again in a transaction. Because this is unusual. I lose one deal about every 5 years. And it's usually because of the house, not because of the borrower or something we've done. My thing is when I do a pre-approval letter, that's golden.
Yeah.
Only way that it couldn't be is if you lied or created some document up that and gave it to me that was not correct. That's it.
Right.
I don't throw things against the wall to see if they stick. That's not how we do it. We get people in homes. So what happened was he's like, I want to do a different podcast then. Totally different than mortgages. At real estate, because I've been in sales my whole life. That's what we do. And I know how to run a business. I know how to do all that. So trying to toy with names, my wife actually came up Inner Edison and it went from there. And so basically our greatest accomplishments come from our greatest defeats. And that's basically what it is. And for also, one of his favorite quotes was, or his quotes is, most people quit right before they're successful. And that's so true.
Right.
And so I started that. Steve got me a few guests, and then now we dropped our, what is it, Tuesday, our 54th episode today.
Nice.
So, yeah. So it's been around. I've had people from all over. I've had, Rob Angel, who created Pictionary, to, I had a lady who created an Etsy store during the pandemic and how she used house stuff. I mean, it's all over the gamut because there's information that you can get from anybody. I even had the UGG founder talk about his business because most people think UGG started and it went through the roof and he actually lost the business during the process of over the 15 years of growing that thing. So you have to, it's just things can happen and you can get inspiration or understand from anybody through the process.
Right.
And when I had Rob Angel on Pictionary, I didn't talk about his game or any of that kind of stuff. It was all about how he picked his partners and how he knew they were the right people. Right. So I,
to play Pictionary or to play Pictionary.
No, he created the game. Yeah, Pictionary, yeah, right. Right.
Right.
So that works too, but how do you pick his business partners?
Right. Yeah.
Cause a lot of people go into business, they have partners and it's usually don't work out well. Not all on average, they don't, but his, it worked out real well. And I was like, how did you find that? Let's stay right here on this. And so I look at things differently than other people.
Yeah.
Being on the, selling by the phone for as long as I did, I interview people every day. Steve was saying some stuff to me and he goes, I don't know. Cause he wanted me to come up with this idea of what do I do? Right. And I'm like, I don't know anymore. I do this, this, and this. He goes, you help people tell their story across multiple mediums.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. I get that now. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
In the mortgage industry, I help them tell their story so I can get a loan for them. On Real Estate Jerky, it's about what's going on. Inner Edison's about their business or what they've done and how they've done it. Or they're there to help other business people not go through what they, what they went through or what they can go through. So, and that's how that one came about. And then I had created, I actually got a domain called Helping the Brave 2 years ago. And I it was all from, there was a company who says they help vets and first responders and get a discount on their real estate and all this, which is a whole marketing ploy to get them in, not anything great. And I didn't like that. I'm like, I want to do something that really helps. And I tried to get some agents. And so I got that domain. And then what happened was I didn't use it because it just didn't work for what I wanted to do. And I was like, I was getting introduced to so many vets. And when I got out, it was different than it is now. But the transition stories are pretty much the same. There are no help, no this. And so basically I'm like, I want to do a podcast on helping the brave. And basically when, once the vet takes the uniform off, we're there for them. So we started it just as the podcast. And then the fifth episode, we had a guy on from Texas and he was telling his story. And it was the anniversary of the Gulf War 30 years that, you know, it was Gulf War was yesterday. This is the second day.
Right.
And he had gotten there the day before and he was on a, and he got state and he was on a Bradley. They thought that's your Bradley. And he was the gunner. Well, the driver and the guy in charge got in an argument. And so the guy in charge says, driver, you're the gunner, gunner, you're the driver. So they were out that day, the next day, right? That gets hit. Four of them die. He survives and one other person. And you could hear the guilt to that day, the survivor's guilt. He was still dealing with 30 years later. I'm like, this needs to be alive. This needs to be on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube as alive. So people who are vets can go, brother, I know how you feel, whatever it is to help people through the process. I'm like, we can't keep this a secret or wait till it gets dropped or whatever. It needs to be live. So that's how I started my live stuff was helping the brave.
Yeah.
And one of the guys that was my co-host at the time, he had been doing them for a while. So he helped me and get a start. I'm like, this is so freaking easy. This is easy. And it goes to YouTube afterwards. I'm done. I don't have to do any editing. I don't have to do anything. This is amazing.
Yeah.
So that's how I started that, was helping the brave live. And we do two of them a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 3:30 PM. I think we're in the 50 plus 60 episodes.
Awesome. Yeah. I got like chills when you were talking about that story, because that's an awesome, awesome thing. When you're talking about, you know, you're doing these different shows, you're doing things that are like beyond, your little world of real estate, mortgages, all that kind of stuff. I'm a believer that it doesn't, like we were talking about before, like title insurance, who cares? Mortgage lending, like who cares? You know what I mean? And so
they only care when they need it.
Exactly. Other than that, right.
And then it's like a cop.
Right.
You can't get them when you need them, and they're there when you don't want them. Right. It's complete opposite. Yeah. Yeah.
So talk to me. Like, I think it's important to just put stuff out there, because the more people see your face, the more they hear you talk, the more they hear you talk about different things, the more they come to like trust you, maybe even subconsciously. It doesn't even need to be about title insurance or mortgages or real estate or whatever. It's just like the more they see you, the more they like you, the more they hear you, the more they trust you. Has that been a similar experience for you?
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. I'm amazed how many people listen to my radio show. But it took a while. It took a long time. And I don't know if I said this, but my producer says, Ed, when you're about ready to quit is when they're about ready, when they just started listening. That took 2 years.
Yeah.
And so about 40% of my business comes from the radio. I don't get a lot of business from this other stuff, but I don't do it for that reason. I do helping the brave because I'm a vet and I want to give back and I want to help other vets.
Sure. Exactly.
Inner Edison, same thing. I want to help other people go through the process and learn from what I went through and learn from what other people went through. And then also, I had on the brand doctor. We talked about branding and all the other stuff. And, you know, I talked to a guru about YouTube ads and all that stuff that's coming out shortly. So, I mean, it's important to know all this stuff. You could use that. I could use that. Anybody could use that for their business. And it's amazing what that stuff is. And I get that through the connections through Steve Sims. Not always on stage, but the 40 people in the audience. That's because they keep asking me, why do you keep coming back? I go to the people in the audience and they look at me. I'm like, yes, you provide amazing people on stage, but those other people in the audience I connect with forever. Right.
Right.
So
yeah, I love it.
And you have to get to a point, because I try to get, so I do lives with agents on top of this, everything else I do during the week that has nothing to do with my radio show or the other live I do or the other stuff. And I have them come on. We talk about more, you know, actual loan programs, but only for 10 to 15 minutes, no longer, because it's got to be short so it can be on YouTube and everything, but it's live so they can go through and scroll. And that's it. I want to help people get to where I am, because a lot of people are afraid to show their face. I don't like the way I look. Everybody knows how you look.
Yeah.
They see you all the time. Get over yourself. Yeah. And I heard from, Steve did a live with Bradley, and Bradley says, once you get past what not caring anymore, you'll blow up.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to get to a point where you don't care. Like, you know, I haven't shaved in a week or so. I shaved my neck, but it's like, this is who I am. If you don't like it,
deal with it.
Don't do business with me.
Exactly.
Go somewhere else. Because I dressed up for a few events. They're like, holy cow. Yes, I'm bald. And sometimes I wear glasses.
Yeah.
You know?
There you go.
Yeah. And they go, why do you wear a hat? I go, because all the people in Rotary that are way older than me have scars on their head because they had skin cancer and they had to, you know, take it off.
Right.
I don't want that. So I wear a hat. So when I go out in the sun, I don't have to worry about putting stuff on. I have a hat. And plus, my hair doesn't mess up. So.
I love it. Okay, so we're going to move the show into our closing segment. This episode has been tremendous so far, so there's a lot of pressure on this closing segment because we need to really hammer it home here at the end. So the closing segment we call Under the Spotlight. What would be one thing that you would want the spotlighters, which is the listeners, to walk away from this episode with? So you are under the spotlight.
Don't wait to buy a home. Get out there now and buy a home now.
Boom.
That's it.
Yeah.
Stop waiting.
Yeah.
Stop thinking there's going to be a downturn. There's not. This is not the stock market. This is not 2006. We don't have a financial crisis. We don't have more homes than we need. We have it's supply and demand. We don't have enough supply. We have too much demand. Is the demand going away? No. Is the supply coming? Not for a long time. So that's the other issue. Other thing, I'm going to add one last thing here. Sure. Because we put so many people in 2% interest rates over the last 2 years, instead of 85% of the homes being resale, I think that's going to get down to 50% or less, because people are going to stay in their homes a lot longer, because why do they want to make a move and pay $1,000 more a month or $500 a month for the same house as rates go up?
Right.
And Nick, I did a live about why you shouldn't wait. And it talked about where's rates going to be next year and where's value going to be next year at this time. Both of them are going to be up. So why are you waiting?
Yeah. Yeah. Love it. Love it. Awesome. Under the spotlight. Excuse me. So if people need more Ed Parco after this episode, which I can't imagine they don't need more. So where can they go to get more of you and listen to all the stuff that you have going on?
Just Google edparco.com, you know, Ed Parco, Google it. I'm edparco.com, Instagram, Ed Parco, Twitter, Ed Parco. Everywhere is Ed Parco. That's the one thing you need to do. If you're going to get out there and do stuff, have the same name everywhere. Don't have, you know, Jason Moore 25 or whatever. Have your name out there. So every time a new thing comes on, I'm on TikTok. Yeah, this old guy's on TikTok. You need to get on there yourself. Do it all. Across everything. You never know who's going to listen, because a lot of people, only young kids on there. No, I have so many people grab financial advice, and I was shocked how much of my stuff went viral. You know, for me, that's huge. Cause like I said,
right.
I didn't do any of this stuff. I didn't do YouTube. I didn't do that. I just focused on my clients, you know, CRM them and stayed for it. And now I am in all these other markets. So I have no idea where I'm going to be in 5 years from now. I am going to be doing more speaking, be on more stages, because that's what I'm being pushed by Steve to do. I'm writing actually two books. One's on real estate and how to buy houses, and one's on sales. So there's a few things coming for me, but if they want to find me, just Google Ed Parco, P-A-R-C-A-U-T.
Love it. Love it. And then just because this just popped into my brain, because you said you don't know where you're going to be in 5 years, you're on the mortgage side. Are you just in California? Are you doing stuff just there, or do you stuff nationwide or other states?
I was nationwide, but then I did most of my, so on average, a third of all mortgages are done in California. Right. So I'm like, that was enough for me. I don't need any more. So right now I'm basically only in California. I am working on a new company that I'm working on, which is called Loan Squad, which is it's going to be nationwide for VA, and we'll do others, but basically government loans, because with what I'm doing, I'm being asked to help people, and it's at the point where I need to do it. So the one thing about it is, the question I had for a while was, do I go work for somebody underneath their umbrella and go nationwide, or do I build it over time? And I'm going to build it over time. I decided, because I can't work underneath somebody else. They would fire me.
I can't imagine that's true, but yeah.
Yeah, I asked for forgiveness, not permission.
Right. So. Yeah, I love that. Awesome. All right. So I will make sure, Ed Parco. So if you didn't pick up on that as he was talking about it, I will make sure that I put that in the show notes, edparco.com, and all the other social handles. I'll make sure I put those in there. I'll also put the morningspotlight.com, themorningspotlight@gmail.com, the website and the show email address of the show. So if for some reason you want to connect to me to get to Ed, I'd be happy to make that introduction if you feel uncomfortable talking to him because he's so intimidating. Ed, thank you so much for coming on the show with us today. This was awesome.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And the Spotlighters, thank you for listening, and we will catch you next time.